Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening live to another episode of Talking Ted, brought to you by brothers in the great states of Indiana and Florida. And of course, we would not be here without our friends at Blog Talk Radio. Those diehard college football fans, you know that introduction like the back of your hand. For those who are not familiar, that was our imitation, our poor imitation, I should say, of longtime college football play-by-play commentator Brent Musburger. Back in the day, which was actually about 3-4 years ago, Musburger would always call the big primetime college football game. And in his opening segment, he'd always say, "You are looking live," followed by the stadium name, the city, the teams, etc. I think he still does that tradition today, but it's for the SEC Network, which is far less enjoyable for my brother and I, being Big Ten analysts. So we grew up longtime fans of Musburger. I'm not sure whether it was because he was a damn good commentator or just because Dad disliked him so much and we thoroughly enjoyed irritating him by watching a Musburger-called game on high volume. Whatever the case, whenever I hear his voice, it always brings back memories of the good old days in college football. And that's what I'd like to open with this evening. College football memories. Now, in the past, Dustin, we've discussed some of our favorite memories when it comes to this sport. We grew up in a home that celebrated college football Saturdays religiously, and again, that stems back to our father. Now, he was probably more excited about tailgating and drinking than he was about the actual game itself. But for me, it's a little different, and I'm sure it is for you as well. But for me, the combination of tailgating, eating excellent grilled and fried foods, hanging out with some of your closest buds, and just the overall pageantry that envelops college campuses nationwide on Saturdays, along with the tradition and the history, and, of course, actually watching the greatest sport in the land, that combination is second to none to me. So that leads me to open with this question for you. And you can choose which route you want to go with this, but the question is, what is either A, your favorite, B, your least favorite, or C, your most memorable college football memory?
Well, I've been to a lot of different games, and I've been to a couple different stadiums, so it's hard to probably answer with a favorite because I've got a lot. Anytime you're out with friends tailgating and throwing back a few beverages and things like that, it's always a good time. I think probably, if we're going to talk from a game standpoint, unfortunately, a lot of the memories that go along with tailgating for me have been not well remembered for several reasons. But I think as far as a game standpoint, and maybe one of the most memorable experiences was going to LSU and watching the LSU-Alabama game in Baton Rouge. It was just an awesome experience, and to see how they tailgate and how vastly different it is from what we grew up. I mean, we grew up going to Purdue games. So from a game standpoint, from an atmosphere standpoint, I think that has to be the top memory that I have, because the game, that was the year Alabama, they got to the college football playoff game. They got beat by Ohio State, but we got to see one of the best teams in the country, and LSU was really good at the time too. Saturday night in Death Valley, there's really nothing like it. So I would definitely be going back there. And then, you know, obviously the road trip down and back was a lot of fun too with a cousin Grant and Grady. So that was a good time. So that was probably the game and atmosphere. Tailgating experience, I'm going to go a little sentimental here. That was back in September of 2013, and it was just me and my friend Brant. We went up for the Purdue-Notre Dame game that weekend. It was just going to be the two of us. He invites his brother over, invites his friends, and that's where I met my wife. So pre- and post-game I met her, and during the game, I hate to admit it, but my friend was not allowed to finish the game due to one too many drinks beforehand. So we had to leave early, but those are the top two that I have for you.
Wasn't there an incident? Now, it wasn't just too much to drink. Didn't that lead to something in the stands?
No, like, well, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. I would say on air. I don't know that we're on air.
We're online.
No, there's some descriptions and some events of that night that need to be left to the imagination. But, yeah, there were some fireworks, not only on the field, but in the stands as well. And I will say, that was my first time. I think that was also my first time out on Purdue's campus at, like, campus bars. And you got to remember, I'm, like, at the time, 25, and like, I felt like the old dude.
And at the time, you're also single, so.
Well, yeah.
You're looking.
I feel like
back.
That was probably implied.
Well, at any rate, it sounds like a pretty fun time. I was not present for either of those, obviously.
And I think
I
that's probably
go...
why maybe it was my most favorite.
Well, maybe that is. My favorite memory actually involves you because, you know.
Your favorite memory is, too, but you can tell it.
I actually, you know, like you because, you know, you're my brother. But
no,
I guess the feeling's not mutual.
I'm saying... This was a good time. I'm going to break it down a little bit. This was a great time, too. This breaks into my top three, but I didn't want to mention it because I knew you would bring this one up. So you can continue with the story, but I didn't want to steal the light and give you nothing to work with.
So you already know. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you didn't because I'm pretty sure that you are 100% accurate in knowing what my memory is. But
yeah.
My memory stems back and you know, probably the majority of my friends know this, too, because I've told this story about a dozen and one times. But it goes back to the Purdue-Notre Dame game, and I don't remember what year exactly. I think it was 2009, maybe?
2009. I was a senior in college.
2009.
That was a great influence, let me tell you.
Yeah, I was a senior in high school, or going to be, or something along those lines. I was a senior in high school, but at any rate, we were going to the Purdue-Notre Dame game back when they played annually. Now, for, you know, fellow Purdue fans, they know that the Purdue-Notre Dame game holds a lot more value to Purdue fans because the Boilermakers just, I mean, once in a blue moon, they beat Notre Dame. So and every time they played at Ross-Ade, it seemed like they played them in a night game. It was always a big game because it was the second or third game of the season, and Purdue had only played, you know, garbage teams before that, so they hadn't lost. So hope was still there that maybe, you know, maybe they might have a decent season. So it was always a big game. But I remember we went to West Lafayette. We went there early afternoon, I believe, and we all met. It was myself, my brother's friend, Clay, and another friend, Ken, who actually couldn't stick around for the actual game itself. But basically, we were just tailgating all afternoon. It was an 8 o'clock kick. We had some Buffalo Wild Wings beforehand, and one of my most favorite parts about this day was when we decided to walk around the stadium. And this was probably about an hour and a half before kickoff. And students had started lining up so that way they could claim their seats. And it was on, I think it's the west side of the stadium. I could be wrong there. Whichever side of Ross-Ade the students file into, they were lined up ready to go in there. And there's this, I would call it a steep hill that you walk down. To get to the other end of the – to get to the – to get
it
to the –
It depends on your inebriation level.
It really does because, if you're a little intoxicated, I mean, you're going to be staggering down this, probably going to end up on your knees at some point. you know, rolling down this hill. It's pretty steep. At any rate, we were walking down there, and I actually had seen this item in Clay's pocket until he pulled it out. It was a wooden train whistle. And as we were walking past the student section, he toots the horn and yells, "Boiler up!" And that was probably the most excited I've ever seen a group of Purdue students in my lifetime. They were insane. I mean, they were high-fiving us, chest-bumping us all the way down that hill. And then, of course, you know, we said some choice words to some Notre Dame fans who were passing by, and then, you know, we managed to find our way into the game itself, which, you know, mind you, was a hell of a game, too. Purdue had taken the lead with, like, 3 minutes to go. They ended up losing on a last-minute drive by Notre Dame, but it was still a hell of a game, and that, to this day, is still my favorite memory. Nothing has topped it yet. I've been to the Swamp a couple times. Unfortunately, both times they were against not-so-great opponents, so Florida won pretty easily, but I'll be going to the LSU at Florida game this year, and that should give me a real Swamp experience. So for now, the Purdue-Notre Dame game holds true as the number one top memory for me, but that may be surpassed this season. Who knows?
I gotta say that this year, too, at the Purdue-Indiana game, we had a tailgate. And, you know, me, I was excited I was going to cook and get out the grill. And I'm always pumped up to do that stuff. We're going to try new beers. And, of course, if you're in Indiana, you know how bloody cold it gets around here in the last week of November. And, you know, pumped up to be around the fireplace and trying some of those winter beers. Well, I was so excited, got up really early. We were ready to go. Get to the game, get our spot, and had the hot dogs, break out the grill. Realized I forgot the buns, had no condiments for the hot dogs, and at least we had the beer in the cooler. I got to just say, this was ingenuity by my friend Ed, who didn't want to just eat plain hot dogs, and Stacy's parents eventually came and brought buns, so at least we had something to serve the hot dogs on. But just the idea that he took two crackers and a cube of cheese and tried to heat it over a grill to try to make a makeshift grilled cheese may have been making one of the funniest attempts at making a new food that I've ever seen. He put his hand over the fire, too. He wasn't like trying to get a stick out there, just didn't try to melt the cheese. He put his hand over the grill holding two crackers and a piece of cheese. I don't think it ever got melted enough to make it like a real grilled cheese, but when you're hungry, you'll do just about anything.
Well, the question that I have there is,
we also use
how many beers deep was he?
Well, I don't know, because I don't remember how many that were consumed totally, but I would say probably at least a six pack in.
Okay, now, so that would explain why he held his hand over an open fire.
I think he might have had gloves.
Oh, well, then if he had gloves, then, you know, it's justified.
Didn't feel the full heat.
No, so those were, like, miniature grilled cheeses, then. If they were, like, were they, like, Ritz crackers, or what were they?
Yeah, they were the club crackers.
Club crackers. Oh, those are tasty. I imagine that would be pretty tasty. I'll have to give props to Ed. That sounds like a mighty good idea, especially when you're facing that kind of a scenario, that kind of crisis. So, but we've certainly had our fair share of memories when it comes to this great sport. None of them are bad, I think. Sure, some of my teams have lost in games that I've gone to. But overall, I think the whole experience collectively, I think I still enjoyed every single experience that I've had with college football. I haven't had a negative experience yet. But jumping ahead now, from past to present, we're going to switch gears entirely. Now, I've been following football daily. I always have, so that's nothing new. But I don't have a primary focus at this point. I'm not zoned in on one particular conference. I used to be when I was the editor of Hail Florida Hail, which is the Florida Gators fan site on the FanSided Network. And I'd usually cover the Gators and the SEC. But since I have left FanSided and discontinued writing for the time being, I pretty much just read anywhere between 10 and 12 college football articles per day, you know, just to stay frosty. But with that said, you probably, Dustin, have more knowledge of the Big Ten at this juncture, just because you are the lead writer for the conference for today's U. You've watched just about all of the spring games, and you've done quite a bit more research than I have regarding the conference. So here's what I'd like to do. We just started May. Still have about 4 months until the college football season officially begins. So for the remainder of the show, I'd like to get your take on how you think the Big Ten will play out this season. Now, before the show, I asked you to compose a Big Ten power ranking. I did as well. Now, I know it's really early, but I'd like to go through our rankings for the conference and, you know, give just a brief reason. We're in the second half of the show. So just a brief reason here why each team is ranked where they are and obviously where they are ranked. And what we'll do is we'll save these picks and we're going to see how close we are at the end of the season. We're going to test our college football knowledge and what we've seen basically just from recruiting and the spring games so far. So I'll go ahead and start. And what we'll do is we'll kind of stagger this out. So we'll both give our number one option and then we'll both go to number two, so on and so forth. So my number one pick has to be the Ohio State Buckeyes. The reason being, Ohio State finished with the fifth best class nationally in recruiting, which led all other Big Ten programs. And basically, the rich get richer. You know, they got a slew of talented newcomers, including the number one defensive end, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa's younger brother. So they have a ton of talent coming in. They lost a few guys to the NFL draft this season, but, you know, Urban Meyer, what he's done with Ohio State, I have no doubt that he'll be able to replicate a season like, not necessarily last season, but the season before. So I have Ohio State at number one.
Well, I don't. I have, and I'm going to tell you the reason, I have Ohio State at number two on my list. The reason I'm not a big fan of Ohio State is because they do have some talent up at the front lines. They are really lacking. What we're basically going to find out is how good of a quarterback JT Barrett is, because he doesn't have guys that can go up and make plays. He doesn't have a Michael Thomas anymore. And he doesn't have Ezekiel Elliott to hand the ball off to. I think JT Barrett can get this team as to one of the best in the Big Ten and one of the best in the country, but I don't think that all the pieces are in place. I think they've got some good talent coming in, and I think that eventually that this will be another team that can compete for another two or three national championships, but I just don't think that this year is going to be the year. I think they go through, and I could be completely wrong, because a couple years ago we thought the same thing. We thought this Ohio State team was 1 year away in 2014. And they end up winning the whole dang thing. So I think Ohio State, again, is a year away, maybe, getting some of those fresh guys. I mean, they got a talented guy in Austin Mack. They've got DeMario McCall, who can be a big playmaker for them offensively. She said they got Nick Bosa coming in. They have weapons there. I just don't think they have all the weapons to win the conference. I put Michigan as my number one team just because I saw what Jim Harbaugh did in that first year. They look more relaxed at the quarterback position, I think, this year. Defensively, they're going to be just as good. and they got a lot of threats. They've got Amara Darbo still there. They've got Jake Butt still there. They've got Ty Isaac, who's looking good. So I think Michigan is actually going to be the team that, if the Big Ten is going to send somebody to the college football playoff, I think it's going to be the Maven Blue.
Well, so basically what you're telling me is we flipped on Michigan and Ohio State. I have Ohio State at number one. You have Michigan at number one. I have the Wolverines actually at number two. Michigan, they're fresh off a 10-win season. They just obliterated Florida in the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl. So I do think Michigan is a trendy pick to win the Big Ten in year two under Harbaugh. They bring back a ton of talent. And we saw what happened in year one under Jim Harbaugh. And not to mention, they just nabbed defensive tackle Rashawn Gary,
mm-hmm.
who was the number one ranked prospect in the country. So I'm not going to put them ahead of Ohio State just yet, but I definitely think they'll be there. And I think they're going to be there for years to come, especially if Jim Harbaugh continues this kind of recruiting success. So we both went through our one and two. We're going on to number three. I have, of course, Sparty. Now, cool. Sparty is Michigan State is a team that loves to play with a chip on its shoulder. And this year they're coming in as the reigning Big Ten champs. And, you know, they have some positions that they need to replace. They have Connor Cook that they need to replace. They have All-America offensive lineman Jake Allen and Jack Conklin, and defensive end Shalik Calhoun. But, I mean, is really anyone questioning Mark D'Antonio and what he's capable of in East Lansing? I'm not. So I have Sparty at number three.
Well, I don't. I've got Iowa at number three just because I think they have so many weapons still on their team. They got Matt Vanderberg, the leading receiver. They've got C.J. Beathard, the starting quarterback. They've got Desmond King, the reigning Jim Thorpe Award winner. They've got a lot of talent on both sides of the football. And Iowa, again, I think this is going to be maybe not an undefeated season, but they have a relatively easy schedule. So I don't know that they're one of the best teams as far as a talent standpoint, but as far as who they're going to play this season and the way their schedule lines up, I think they've got a real shot to go back-to-back competing for a Big Ten title. And Michigan State, I'm going to tell you right now, I've got Michigan State at number four. And the reason being is because, like you said, I think they've lost too much. They've lost a couple receivers. They've lost Connor Cook. I don't know that they have the talent. I think defensively, I think they're slipping without Pat Narduzzi, so I think they're going to continue to slip a little bit more. I don't think it's a bad team. I just don't think they're going to be as good as they have been in the past 2-3 years.
Okay, so you have Iowa at three, Michigan State at four. So we flipped
mm-hmm.
on those as well. I have Iowa at four. I wouldn't count on another 12-0 season for Iowa, but, I mean, the Hawkeyes do return quarterback C.J. Beathard. Thorpe award-winning Desmond King, and a ton of other starters. So they at least deserve some sort of recognition to repeat as the champions out in the West. Moving on to number five, I have good old Bucky Badger. I got Wisconsin. And I was really impressed with their win over USC in the Holiday Bowl last season. And I think it could really help them take some momentum into this season. I think Paul Christ in year two has a lot of talent on his roster, especially at running back with Corey Clement, if he can stay on the field. They do have some concerns. They lost Dave Aranda, the defensive coordinator, and they have a tough, tough schedule. They have to open with LSU at Lambeau, and then they travel up to Michigan State and Michigan before hosting Ohio State. So the schedule could hinder the Badgers, but, I mean, again, Wisconsin's a team that always seems to be at least in the running. So I got them at five.
I think I don't have them at five, and that's the big reason is because of that schedule. I think it's very easy to believe that Wisconsin starts off 2-4, even 2-5 through the first six, seven games of the season. So I don't have enough faith in them that they're going to – I think, again, this is kind of the exact opposite of Iowa. From a talent standpoint, I think Wisconsin can win a lot of football games. I just don't think that they're good enough to beat Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Iowa all in consecutive weekends, and I don't know how prepared they'll be to play LSU. My number five, and then we probably should start jumping into clumps. My number five is Northwestern because they've looked good defensively. They were so good defensively last season. Anthony Walker could be one of the best players in Northwestern football history, and until recently maybe that didn't mean too much. Clayton Thorson, if he continues to develop at quarterback, they have the best quarterback-running back combination in the Big Ten and maybe in the country with Thorson and Justin Jackson. So that's going to be the team I think is going to be the team to watch, and I think they could be the dark horse in the Big Ten West this year.
Northwestern. I have Northwestern at number six, actually. I don't know if they're going to win, you know, double-digit games. I think their offense has to improve significantly. But, again, at defense, led by Anthony Walker at linebacker, they should hold pretty steady. And then the quarterback, sophomore quarterback Clayton Thorson, he gained some experience as well. So they, you know, they may be in the upper tier of the conference. Following Northwestern for me at number seven, I'm going to have to go with Nebraska. And it's really based on what I saw in the Foster Farms Bowl win over UCLA and not so much what they did all season. I think, you know, Nebraska, Mike Riley has his word cut out for him in year two. He was a questionable hire to begin with and then to, you know, go to finish 6-7 last year at Nebraska is just unacceptable. So they have a manageable crossover schedule. They have Indiana and Maryland. They also have Ohio State. So Nebraska could up its win total. They could get a quality win over Ohio State. But I have them at number seven.
Well, I'm going to go back to number six, do the 6 and 7, then run down the rest of my list because we're running out of time. Number six, I have Penn State. I think that defense, again, is really good. Trace McSorley and that up-tempo offense look good, and they have the best running back country, I think, in Saquon Barkley, or the guy who has the most potential, I think, in Saquon Barkley. He will just put up a bunch of stats, and Penn State's offense is probably going to be moving better than it's moved ever since James Franklin went up to Happy Valley. Number seven, I've got Wisconsin, again, pretty much based on their schedule. I put in that eight is Nebraska. I think they're going to have another mediocre season. I think they have the talent to win a lot of games. They have the best receiving core in the Big Ten with Westerkamp, DeMornay, Pearsonell, and a few other guys. So they'll be able to throw it around, but Armstrong's his consistency's been off, and I don't know if their defense is going to be good enough to stop teams again. 9, Minnesota, 10, Illinois, 11, Indiana, 12, Rutgers, 13, Purdue, and 14, Maryland.
Got Purdue moving up a spot, huh?
Well, the reason being is because their quarterbacks were so awful a season ago that and those two teams will play each other. So it could be the battle for the bottom of the Big Ten. So we'll find out really who is the worst team, but Purdue's quarterbacks look much better than what Maryland's did. So that's the only reason I put them, the Boilers, ahead of the Terrapins.
All right, well, I will go ahead and finish mine real quick. Number 8, I have Penn State. Number 9, Minnesota. 10, Illinois. 11, I'll go Indiana. 12, I'm going to go Maryland. 13, Purdue. And 14, Rutgers. So that rounds out my power rankings of the Big Ten. We'll see how close we are. You know, the season starts in, we still got 4 months. So those may change in the upcoming weeks, so we'll see. But that'll do it for tonight's episode of Talking 10. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and we apologize for the lack of episodes last week. Things were a little hectic with both of our schedules, but I think we have it worked out now. And guys, you heard our Big Ten power rankings. Let's hear yours. If your thoughts of the Big Ten standings differ from ours, let us know where your teams stand and why on Twitter. You can add us at Talking 10. And that's all one word. But for tonight, We're signing off. We'll be back to talk more college football on Wednesday. Have a great night, everyone.